This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
And our guest is HealthSource RI Executive Director Anya Rader-Wallach. Dr. Wallach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Much to talk about in that category. So I'll start with the numbers from the most recent enrollment period. I understand that a lot of people who had been enrolled at first have re-enrolled.
Yeah, we've had high re-enrollment from last year, and total enrollment is up 20% over last year. Individuals and families, that enrollment is coming in at around 31,500 enrollees. And then we have what we call the shop side of our business, which is employers. And so far, we have 454 groups signed up for coverage. Those groups, employer groups, can continue to enroll throughout the year, whereas individuals have closed their enrollment period for the year.
And how would you explain that, I guess, popularity of the health programs?
Well, we've done a ton of outreach to try to find people who might be eligible for coverage, and in particular, people who are eligible for advanced premium tax credits that are available through the federal government to make their coverage more affordable. So we did outreach through all sorts of means in communities around the state and brought in a lot of people.
Two questions on the numbers. Now, the re-enrollment figures, how do they compare to other state-run exchanges?
Comparable to some states, much higher than other states. So Rhode Island made a unique decision to do what we call active re-enrollment this year, where we actually required people who were enrolled in 2014 to choose a plan again this year. We didn't just automatically enroll people in coverage. And that was something of a risk because we didn't know if by requiring them to come back, we would lose some of our enrollment. It looks like that panned out well, and that actually in some of the states where there was automatic re-enrollment, they didn't do as well.
What was the growth on the shop side?
On the shop side, we went from just over 100 employers, I believe, last year to 454 this year so far. So in terms of percentage growth, it's big. In terms of total numbers, it remains small. And that's the area where I think in the future we'll be able to grow the most.
Now, one of the interesting things I know that there has been a lot of change in the actual plans being picked by individuals, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and a large part of that is neighborhood health plan really expanding their offering and coming in at a lower price.
Exactly.
I mean, is that something that was seen elsewhere in the country at other state-run exchanges?
You know, I haven't really analyzed that. The federal government put out a report just last week on comparative enrollment data from around the country, and I'm not sure if it shows that sort of data. But yes, there was certainly a dramatic shift in Rhode Island. About half of the previous numbers that we had for enrollment shifted from Blue Cross Blue Shield to Neighborhood Health Plan. Big difference.
As you came into HealthSource RI as executive director, customer service issues were very prominent, mistakes in billing or at least confusion about billing. Where do things stand now in general about customer service? What have you done to make improvements?
Problems persist, but I have made this my highest priority in terms of fixing those problems. We're working with our two vendors, Deloitte, who runs our technology system, which has been the source of many of the customer problems, simply having the wrong information in the system so that the customers don't have the right kind of coverage, don't have coverage when they think they should, are getting billed the wrong amount, et cetera. We are making progress, but I can't say that mission accomplished yet. We're also working with our customer service vendor, a company called Optum, which runs our contact center, to make sure that when customers experience those kinds of problems, they're getting better information, quicker resolution. And one of the things that I've been working very hard on is trying to get those two vendors to work better together, which is something that wasn't happening.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with HealthSource RI Executive Director Anya Rader-Wallach.
Anya, let's go back to this customer service issues. Again, Rhode Island has been held up, at least internally, as a really high-functioning state exchange. How would you characterize the level of customer service issues compared with other state-run exchanges or even with federal government?
I'd say in absolute terms, it's an unacceptable level of problems. But if you do compare us to our peers around the country, essentially every state is having some degree of problems. And I think that's reflective of the fact that this is just a much more complex endeavor than anybody anticipated at the front end of this when the Affordable Care Act passed. And states and the federal government were expected to stand up exchanges on what most reasonable technology experts would consider to be too short a timeline. So there have been problems in, I would say, every state. There have been problems at the federal level. The degree of problems runs the gamut from slightly better than our situation to total disaster in Oregon, where they've just had to give up on their effort altogether.
One of the issues that's in Rhode Island has been hot is just sort of the cost and the funding and, you know, the fact that the exchange has to be totally self-sufficient by, what, fiscal year 2017,
yes,
right? And at least for half of the year in 2016. And so a lot of the federal funding still is going toward fixing these issues. So do you see that time frame working out?
We have to. The federal rules are the federal rules. And so our concerted effort this year, while we continue to be able to spend federal funds, is to shift resources where we need to make sure that our system is well functioning before we have to go on a diet of total state funding. So that's our challenge. It means that we're having to really ramp up our effort in working with our vendors, as I said. We have shifted more resources to sort of frontline customer service than we had originally anticipated. And it means that we're backing away from some of our other expenditures in order to really focus on how do we make sure that this is a lean, mean operation by the time we go on state funding.
Now, the proposed surcharges on some of the health insurance plans is, of course, controversial, and it's being discussed across state government virtually. Do you have a backup plan if that somehow isn't passed, or if it doesn't go through? Do you simply switch to the federal government, or what do you do?
Well, I think the important thing to understand is that Rhode Island has to pay for an exchange no matter what. So whether we choose to do this through the federal exchange or at the state level, we have to pay for the cost of it. If we went the federal route, the feds would assess our small group and individual carriers a fee, and that would be incorporated in premiums here in Rhode Island. What the governor has proposed is that we stick with the state-based exchange for a variety of reasons in terms of providing value to Rhode Islanders, and essentially that we mirror the federal assessment at the state level. So apply a premium assessment to the individual and small group markets. It has to be spread under federal law, both inside and outside the exchange. And we have proposed doing that in a way that minimizes, we think, the hit to small businesses and is preferable to the federal methodology in that it applies the assessment much more evenly across carriers.
But the federal Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare, itself is in an iffy situation before the Supreme Court. What do you do if the court rules against a major portion of the Affordable Care Act?
So the main issue there in the Supreme Court case is whether individuals who live in states that do not have state-based exchanges, so states not like Rhode Island, but states that are using the federal exchange to get those tax credits for their citizens, whether those would still be available if the court ruled against the federal government. We are not in the risky situation that other states are in.
Unless there is pressure brought to bear and the Rhode Island moved to the federal exchange, at which point then that would apply.
Right, right, which is one more reason to keep it at the state level at this point.
We are out of time, and we'll have to leave the discussion right there. Thanks to HealthSource RI Executive Director Anya Rader-Wallach for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.